Greetings, everyone. Welcome. My name is Andy Neal, and you're listening to the Hiker Podcast. What is up there, hikers? It is Andy Neal here, and you're listening to the podcast that gets to know the hikers behind the trekking poles, the podcast that asks the why questions of hiking, the podcast that asks hikers and outdoors persons, how has hiking changed you, and how are you changing the world around you? That's right. You guessed correctly. You're listening to the Hiker Podcast. You like my movie voice? I don't know. Hey, guys, how's it going? Hope y'all are having a fabulous December and holiday season. I'm excited about this week's episode. Big shout out to our sponsors. You know, I have to shout out the sponsors. I have to, because they're our sponsors and they make this possible. That is, of course, our Patreons, who week in and week out, month in and month out, they support this show. Thank you. If you'd like to know more about being a Patreon, just go to the link in the description of this episode or go to hikerpodcast.com to find out more. Also, gotta shout out Canuck Outdoors, makers of the carbon fiber cork trekking poles. You can get 10% off by using the promo code HikerPodcast. Two words, HikerPodcast. 10% off your new trekking poles. Also, they have all the water solutions you need. And if you're looking for some coffee, instant coffee for home during this cold, blustery December season, I know we're getting snow here pretty soon. CS Instant Coffee, which is even better on the trail when you're hiking. CSN's coffee is amazing. Ian and Monica are amazing. Check them out. So excited about everything that's going on with the show. I have talked a little bit last week about my YouTube channel, which will be launching first week of January. Make sure you check that out. And if you want to know more about me, just go to hikerpodcast.com. All the information about me is there. Past episodes there. Links are there. You can email me, andy@hikerpodcast.com, with any questions. Leave an Apple Podcast review. But with all that said, I'm not going to keep blabbing on. I'm not going to keep talking. We're going to get right into our interview. We are talking with Mike Nomenclature Spires. I am so excited to have him on the show. We had an amazing conversation. A fellow Disney nerd and hiker. I know there are Disney nerds and hikers out there. People who love the outdoors, love hiking, and they love Disney. I am one of those people. And if that's not for you, that's fine. Nobody's perfect. No, I'm kidding. But we talked about everything from creativity and how we're both inspired by creativity and things like Disney and being in the outdoors and how they're not mutually exclusive and protecting the environment and just positivity. Great conversation. So without any further ado, my conversation with Mike Nomenclature Spires. The hiking community is a wonderful, beautiful thing. And I first met our next guest, I believe it was on Elena Tip Tap Osborne's Discord server, because we were both Patreon supporters for her, and began following each other on Instagram. And he has been an amazing follower and supporter of the show, a hiker, nomad, Mike Aspires. How are you doing today, Mike?
Doing well, Andy. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for coming on, Mike. We've been following each other for a while, and I've loved seeing your adventures all around Northern California. Why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, where you come from, the stuff people, if they meet you on the trail, they might want to know.
Yeah, absolutely, Andy. My name is Mike. Also go by Nomenclature, or Nomen for short, on the trail. I'm currently actually active duty in the services with the U.S. Coast Guard. I've been serving for about 11 years. And then outside of the service, I'm also a graduate student over at California State University, Long Beach, kind of studying some of the Emergency Services Administration, kind of the social science behind much of the emergency services, as well as doing some volunteer work with the National Park Service, VIP over at Point Reyes National Seashore. Been living in pretty much the West Coast for my entire life. First born and raised in Los Angeles. And then in 2011, I moved out to Oregon And then about 2019, I moved back to California to the San Francisco Bay Area, where I'm currently home based out of.
Very nice. So growing up in Los Angeles, I grew up a little north of there. In Las Vegas, people don't think of the outdoors when they think of LA. What was it like growing up there? And were you out in the outdoors, or did that come later in life?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Los Angeles, it was definitely a very large and sprawling environment, as most people are aware of. And as far as me getting into the outdoors, I actually kind of didn't like it at first. It was more of a recreational opportunity whenever I could get out. I actually was into mountain biking a little more than hiking. And that's kind of what got me in sort of the direction of getting the outdoors, but didn't quite enjoy it as much. Surprisingly, it wasn't until when I got into the Coast Guard, and then I got stationed in a lovely coastal town of Coos Bay, Oregon. It was away from the city, didn't actually like it.
Coos Bay is very small. It's very, yeah, very small.
Indeed, it's super small. I didn't like it. I was like, I was very much an urban guy, but it kind of just grew on me. And then I started to really love the opportunities and the outdoor experiences that Coos Bay has to offer, and Oregon in general, because I started to explore beyond that. Definitely living in such an urban environment in LA before moving to Oregon, it's been pretty difficult to try to find a good open space or even get that forest environment. I know Big Bear was near there, and I don't recall having a lot of chances to actually travel up there. My family was mostly about camping, but it was mostly along the beaches. And to be honest, those trips I actually kind of hated as well initially. But much later in life did I find such gratitude and joy in being in the outdoors, because it brings just such a unique perspective on things shortly after that.
And I love your perspective there, because it's similar to mine, having grown up in large urban areas, not really used to being in the outdoors, never was really into the outdoors, and then came to Oregon, and all of a sudden, for me, it was quite a while being exposed to the outdoors. Finally, was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's all around me. I don't need to keep going up to Portland or going down to LA. There's things to do, right in my backyard. And I know, having, lived in Brookings for 2 years, Brookings, Oregon, there's really the Oregon coast. If you're a city slicker, it's just not, it's hard. It's a hard adjustment to make.
It is.
So what was it about Coos Bay and the Oregon coast specifically? Was there a specific hike, or was it just over time getting used to, there's the state parks out there, there's beautiful, old growth forests out there, the Oregon Coast Trail runs through there. Was it a specific trail or specific hike, or is it just slowly just kind of chipped at you a little bit?
It did. It really did slowly chip at me, and you can kind of see it for anybody that follows on Instagram, kind of see this slow, very transition of the urban environment to more of the outdoor scenic adventures. As I'm aware of you, as well as me, we're Disney enthusiasts, and I started noticing the transition.
Nothing wrong with being a Disney adult. Don't down on it.
One of the things I started noticing especially was transitioning from other themed areas of the park. I started to love Frontierland a little bit more, as well as in Disney's California Adventure, the Grizzly Peak area, especially when they expanded that. Yes. Those have started to become my absolute favorite areas. Living in Coos Bay, North Bend, it was such a joy to just be able to drive within 5 minutes, especially to Cape Arago State Park.
I love that. That's what got me to buy a state park pass, that state park.
Absolutely. It is such a wonderful little quaint park. The little cove that's there, it's super serene, few paddle boarders that are out there. When I was studying my associates while I was stationed there, I went there all the time just because it was just very peaceful, serene, and it was just very quiet. And then as kind of all of that built upon itself, when I moved back into the Bay Area, into the urban environment, I said, oh, yes, I could finally go back into the city life. And actually, in 2000, when it was, when I moved back to the Bay, 2016, that's when I was like, I actually didn't like living in an urban environment anymore, actually. Thankfully, I was stationed on board one of the larger vessels, so for the U.S. Coast Guard. So I got deployed to various places. So that's why I kind of took on the acronym or the nomenclature of Nomad, because I was constantly on the move, always constantly going to new places and discovering new places. But it wasn't until our ship went into dry dock in 2017 where hiking and that culture really took off for me. I explored a lot of the local trails up east of Seattle, Issaquah, and some of the trails near there. And then when I finally visited Mount Rainier National Park, that's when things suddenly just changed for me. It was so eye-opening when I hiked up this one trail. It was a gorgeous day, too. It was clear skies. As I was panting and saying, wow, this kind of sucks, I suddenly turned around and there was Mount Rainier in all its glory, as well as several peaks that were behind me, like Mount Baker and Mount Hood, that I could see for miles away. And it really put me in a position where I'm like, I'm just a tiny bit, I'm only 5'2", but I'm also just a very small, you know, person in this gigantic world that we live in. There's just so much to discover, so much to explore. And that really was what drove me further into the outdoors and wanting to explore, wanting to find answers or, you know, seek perspectives of how the outdoors can bring unique views to what we see.
So looking at your Instagram, you have your story highlights here. You have, you know, the John Muir Trail, Joshua Tree National Forest, Yosemite, Tahoe Rim Trail. And you have Disney. I want to talk a little bit about that because I haven't had a whole lot of Disney fans on this show. A lot of the listeners know for 7 years I hosted a Disney podcast. I'm obsessive about Disney. But something happened in me, similar to what you had talked about, was going to the parks once I fell in love with the outdoors, my perspective really changed. My favorite parts of the park were different and I felt inspired by them. Like I go look at the Matterhorn and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's, it looks like the real Matterhorn in Switzerland. But then, you know, I'm inspired to go, you know, hike up Mount McLaughlin and how that imagination, that fiction inspired me to get out into the outdoors. And there are times where there's this area here called the Avenue of Boulders, and it's just all these boulders and the water rushes over it. I'm looking at it and I'm like, this looks like Grizzly River Run, but better.
Oh my gosh, yes. I absolutely love that area of Grizzly River Run. There's especially like this back area that they kind of use for the overflow, especially in the summers when the lines get long. Mm-hmm. But during the winter when you have that mist that kind of sets in and it's still kind of warm enough, especially for Southern California, oh, it's just such a phenomenal area to hang out in and to just be right next to that waterfall as you see people having the time of their lives along the River Run. And it kind of makes me recall, you know, a lot of the recreational opportunities that these parks provide, as well as seeing the joy in people's faces as they recreate in our public lands, especially in like Yosemite as they're lazing down the Merced River or, you know.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that has really inspired me is like Disney's California Adventure specifically. It's a park to celebrate California, and they have all this, I don't know, just homage to the outdoor activities. You know, there's the old Soaring Over California ride where you'd soar over the Redwood Forest. I lived in Crescent City, California for a year. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see my house and all this other stuff. But I've also gotten a lot of flack in the outdoor community for being in something like Disney that's very consumerist. Again, it's in the, no one has been close, no one has been on the show. Everyone's generally like, oh, you know, do your own thing. But people are like, you know, it's a big city thing. I thought you were into like small town stuff. What is it about Disney that inspires you to get into the outdoors? And what is it about the outdoors that makes you look forward to going to Disney?
Absolutely. So really what both kind of bring together is the general community experience, especially for people that want to enjoy a sense of community and enjoyment, as well as just kind of a step away from the reality of things, you know, where you step beyond the gates, especially in Disneyland, you know, as you step under the tunnels, from Main Street Station, you're kind of stepping into this new world that you kind of could be free and be yourself. And much like Disneyland for the outdoors, it's you're stepping onto a trail into such a new area where you can enjoy very unique things, find unique perspectives, and just kind of have that same communal feeling of seeing other enjoyment, you know, in the parks or in the outdoors, much like in Disneyland. And, you know, I know Disney has, in some manner, you know, also emphasized their conservation efforts in regards to a lot of the, you know, climate change or animal conservation. In particular, when I visited Animal Kingdom, which every time my Disney friends are like, "Oh, what's your favorite park?" And I always mention Animal Kingdom, and they're in shock. And there's a good reason why. It's because the theming of it, as well as what it represents, is pretty pivotal to this conversation on why Disney loves the outdoor, or how we can kind of compare the experiences of Disney, you know, for the outdoors, and the outdoors also being represented in Disney parks.
And I've been loving that about my trips to Disney and then going to the outdoors and then seeing like, oh my gosh, this is like this or like that. Or my youngest daughter compares much of our hiking to the Redwood, the Redwood Trail Challenge they have at Disney California Adventure. And she loves that.
That's a lovely little actually, area too.
I pitched it. It is. I pitched this to Columbia because Columbia works with Disney and they're like, hopefully they're going to take this seriously. But we have some sort of promotional campaign where somebody, maybe it's me, I don't know, is at Disneyland and they're riding the Matterhorn, and all of a sudden they feel inspired. And then you cut to them climbing up Mount Hood, or, you know, maybe they're rafting on down, you know, Grizzly River Run. And then you cut to them, you know, on the Klamath River in Northern California. I don't know. And it's just something how both those places are escapism and a place for imagination and community. I've seen them, so many correlations there that a lot of people maybe don't see it. I know we've had a bit of a kinship. I've sent you like the cool Ewok stickers I found. I was like, oh, Mike's going to love these.
Those were absolutely phenomenal.
Hike indoor. But pivoting a little bit here, you talked a little bit about conservation, and I've noticed on your Instagram, especially lately, you have been very vocal about conservation and preserving the environment. What have you been doing with that, and what are your feelings about conserving the lands that we hike on?
Absolutely. As much as, you know, they are there for our enjoyment and kind of, you know, bring that connection of people to nature, we also have to be very respective of what, you know, these lands kind of provide for us, especially for the indigenous people. You know, they were the ones who are very keen on sustainability. You know, they were the first ones to practice sustainable practices amongst the lands, are very responsible. And it's kind of sad and unfortunate to see some of the behavior on public lands. And I'm sure you've, some people who've listened to your podcast have heard this from Darwin, amongst other infamous hikers, of just how these lands are taken advantage of. It's about respecting these lands and how we need to try to convey that message to people. I know there's been campaigns of like Leave No Trace that goes out there to try to advocate for that, but it's a little difficult, especially when we're so connected to just trying to capture the image for the gram, so to speak. You know, every time I post something, I always post a story behind it, usually, to try to convey, you know, this is not just a photo of an amazing experience or an amazing fall. It's also about the journey of getting to that spot and, you know, how to go about doing that and ensuring that you're safe also going out into these public lands. Because we're not necessarily drawn, well, I'll take that back. So when people go out there, they're drawn not just to the nature, but also, yeah, for that Instagram. And we want to try to convey to people, it's not just about getting that picture. It's also acknowledging whose lands you're on, as well as the sensitivity that these ecosystems provide, especially in such a drought-driven California within the last year. You know, if we're so fragile with our resources, you know, we could be in a very dire situation, as we've seen in 2020 and as we've seen again in 2021.
And as you continued on hiking, you're in the Bay Area now. Talk a little bit about your adventures that you've been going on now. I know you've been all over California and their national parks and Tahoe Rim Trail. And what has your adventures been looking like for the last year or two, especially during this time of the pandemic?
Absolutely. So most of my adventures in the past year, actually, were mostly backpacking. It's really starting to draw on the aspiration of kind of becoming more of not just a hiker or backpacker, but also, you know, becoming or essentially becoming the through hikers. I'm still aspiring to become one for several reasons. But throughout the Bay Area, especially during COVID, you know, just getting outdoors has been helpful in settling some anxiety, I guess you could say, because, you know, mm-hmm. Especially in my position, I work behind the scenes. I don't necessarily see the results of what I conduct in search and rescue. And especially hearing some of the voices of persons in distress on the phone, you know, it can be a little bit distressing, which I know that there's been some 911 dispatchers who've also called upon mental health resources. So any chance I can get to get out to hike in the Bay Area, like in Point Reyes or Pinnacles or just some of the local trails out here, is such a welcoming avenue to help de-stress and to kind of reset yourself mentally to be prepared for the next event or thing that could occur.
And what has been your most memorable backpacking trip you've gone on, the one that you've in the last year has been like, this has changed me in this way or that way, or this had the biggest impact on me or changed my perspective on something?
Absolutely. So it was definitely my attempted through hike of the Tahoe Rim Trail. That has really brought into perspective the human element of the trail, the built system of the trail, as well as the physical aspect of the trail itself. You know, we are privileged to have such a well-maintained trail go around Lake Tahoe that people can experience, you know, what a longer hike could be. In addition to that, I was very fortunate to have a trail family or trail family. Yeah, they say it. I'll just say trail family for the sake of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, on the trail, and it was just extremely nice and refreshing to just be yourself when you're out there hiking. It's been eye-opening to see and develop conversations with the people that you just met maybe 2 or 3 days ago, and because we're all pushing through the same obstacles, through the same mental barriers to get through and push through this hike, as well as see somebody who has completed their hike since the Tahoe Rim Trail is pretty much circular in its form. You know, we had one of the members complete their hike, and it was so satisfying to see him complete their hike and just enjoy the celebration with him. Prior to that, another backcountry hike that I'd done was in Yosemite, roughly about my birthday in May 2021. That was also extremely life-changing, almost equivalent to my first experience at Mount Rainier. This was my first time ever going into the backcountry in the Sierras in May, which honestly was my mistake.
Yeah.
It was still very cold. Rivers were actually running pretty high, but it really tested me mentally on what I can physically do, as well as what I'm capable of. And I think that's why a lot of people also like to hike is it allows a person to discover what they're capable of, regardless of who they are. It can be surprising at what the human body can do to essentially survive, but you know, in a safe manner, of course, with all the gear preparation, going through the Sierras, especially in Yosemite National Park. But it was just such eye-opening, especially backpacking there in the backcountry for the first time, setting up a tent, and as the sun rised over the valley floor, I was just met with absolutely phenomenal views that it literally made me cry. It was a very emotional experience because of just the beauty that was suddenly kind of unveiling itself in front of me. In addition to that, one night it was absolutely horrible. There was also a point where I wanted to quit on that particular backcountry hike in May because of the cold weather elements and just how the elements were kind of taking a toll on me.
What would you tell someone who they're wanting to get into to backpacking, they're wanting to get into hiking, and they're not worried about gear limitations or anything? They're just worried about do they have what it takes? Do they have the mental fortitude? They're worried about just not being able to push themselves, you know, that extra bit because they just haven't had the experience to do it before. What would you tell someone who's wanting to get into backpacking and is worried about whether or not they can actually do it?
Absolutely. So what I would recommend to somebody who is thinking about, you know, backpacking, getting out a little further past the front country areas of national parks or on public lands is to start gradual. My first backpacking trip started in Point Reyes, and it was just one night. You know, it's good to find areas where you can still have a backcountry experience where you have to backpack or hike into these campgrounds. And I chose Point Reyes for a good reason is those campgrounds out there aren't necessarily primitive, but they are established with tables, a toilet, because I, you know, didn't quite know how to use a trowel quite yet, but it allowed me to have a system already established where I can practice these skills and gradually learn them over time. And it's okay, you know, to do repeat trips to these sites that you identify, whether it's near you or a couple hours away. If it's a site that you can safely get to, you're comfortable with, and you're very familiar with the trail, and you gradually build that experience to finding out what you need, what you don't need, or just in general enjoy a night out. That's a good way. That's a great way actually to start. And I have to say, it didn't get me to this point where I'm already a very great hiker. It actually took me well over 4 years to get to this point. So it's not something that's very immediate. You know, it's something that is learned over time, and it's okay to take as long as you need or take as short as you need. You know, there is no rush, especially in the world of hiking where, you know, time is just, well, I wouldn't say time is very relative, for you. So yeah,
exactly. So you and I are both fans of a lot of the different creators that we see online, Darwin, Elena, and that whole community has done a lot of good for the outdoors, for public lands, and for hiking. What have you feel like you've gained from the online hiking community as a positive? And what's something that the online hiking community, that be Instagram or YouTube, Facebook groups, kind of could be a bad place sometimes. But what is one thing, on top of what good have you taken from it, what is one thing that the community as a whole needs to really kind of reckon with and deal with to make itself better?
Absolutely. So for the hiking community, you know, I'll say the most positive experience that I've gathered from the hiking community is, indeed, it is the people. They want to help people get out there to explore the outdoors, to explore the public lands, appreciate what these public lands can provide for us in terms of mental health and well-being, as well as just vast opportunities to learn about ancestry and indigenous, as well as the history that is on them. I think for some of these creators, and I get controversial here, and it's the reason why I'm also studying this in my graduate degree, is how are we communicating these public lands to the people? Most of the information that we receive every day is through social media or through one of the various means available to us. So we're inundated with just so much information. How do we filter that out, or at least unify a message to say, be responsible out there? It's great that you guys are going out there to hike go on these long trails, but to also do so in a safe manner. I've seen several YouTube videos, and I'm guilty of this, of, you know, somebody would say, oh, wow, this is a great item to have on the trail. I get it. And then it doesn't work out for me.
So much useless gear in my garage right now.
Indeed. Yes, you too. But yeah, so some of these creators are pretty good about making that disclaimer, saying, you know, this is gear that works out for me and it may not necessarily work out for you. I wish that was emphasized a little bit more amongst the community, especially as more people are going into the outdoors, conducting their research and trying to figure out ways on how to obtain certain equipment or gear to go outdoors. The ones that I really like the most are those that says, gear is not the end all be all to get outdoors. I can take a JanSport backpack and go out in jeans and walk, 3 miles at Point Reyes and totally be fine and come back. There doesn't need to be this extravagance of hiking gear to get outdoors. But there also needs to be a sense of safety about it as well, where you want to encourage people to not hike at a national park or on a strenuous trail at sunset with only a cell phone as a light. You know, be a responsible hiker as well. If you're coming down from a mountain and you see somebody who's making their way up, be like, oh, hey, how far are you going? They're like, oh, I'm going to try to reach the top. Like, it's okay to let them know, saying, hey, it's kind of little dark out there. It looks like you only have your cell phone on you. It's probably not recommended to go up there. Might catch some flack for that. I know I have, because that's just the unfortunate culture, the American culture that we have. Not stepping too much in that controversy, but that's just kind of the American culture that we have.
Americans don't like to be told what to do. They just
exactly. But yeah, so as creators or content creators, especially people posting out there, you know, just post responsibly. And if you're posting something that's pretty dangerous or it looks like it's a phenomenal picture, I know I see a lot of ledge pictures. Those are the ones that kind of make me nervous. But if the person's risk is perceived as a pretty low danger with their capability, then that's just how they are. I just wish that they could post something and say, hey, this is a little bit dangerous, not recommended for everybody. It's one of those, do not try this at home. But unfortunately, people are going to try to do the same picture or pose to try to get that same picture.
Those ledge pictures for the gram, I can never do them. I was on top of Table Rock today. I'm like, no, I see where people like to get on this little ledge here. I'm like, I ain't not going out there. I am here by myself. Not going to happen. Not doing it. It's funny as the pandemic has really got people outdoors, and it's really made the outdoors a popular thing. It's been this balancing act of the outdoors for everybody. You don't want to gatekeep, and yeah, you're going down a 2-3 mile trail, you know, a zip tie backpack or a JanSport and a pair of Nikes and jeans or shorts are probably fine. But at the same time, it's like someone's climbing up, you know, they're going up to Rainier or something. Like, yeah, it's going to get cold once that sun hits down and all you have is your cell phone. And it's so important to just communicate that responsibly and really show people the realities of the outdoors. And, you know, like, hey, like things today, I noticed so many doggy bags on the trail. And I'm like, I'm the only hiker on this trail today. So I know these aren't from the day because there's no one coming back because there was no one at the trailhead. So, because you know, people like to take their dog, like, oh, I'll just pick up their waste and put it on the side and I'll get it on the way back. They never do.
Yeah.
Things like that. It just drives me crazy. And people are looking towards the YouTubers and the Instagrammers for cues on that. And so it's so important. I love what you said there. Closing out here. Ultimately, how has hiking and backpacking changed you?
Oh. That's always a deep question, and you know, I've listened to several of your podcasts already, and I still never get prepared. I'm always seeing such unique answers, and even now as I answer it, it's always such a great question. It's allowed me to see things in such a unique perspective, especially, you know, from my first moment on Mount Rainier, where I just, you know, I felt so small in such a big world. And that's in a great way because my small contributions can affect a larger picture, essentially. We are all very connected in some manner, to which, you know, we all have a part to play. It has really given me perspective on just allowing other views, regardless of what they are, to be brought into my world, to see how do others perceive certain things and how do I perceive others as well. It's a very shared relationship, and and that's what I love about backpacking and hiking in general, is you can see how some ecosystems, especially in some of the more pristine ecosystems within our parks or public lands, interact with each other, even things as far away as like Yosemite. It's been just such a fascinating view or worldview, so to speak, on how all of these systems really interact with each other and how we come into play into contributing to the whole picture.
Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. If someone wanted to follow you on the gram or maybe check out a YouTube video you have, where would they go?
Absolutely. So I am pretty active on Instagram. You guys can find me at the Micro Nomad, all one word, on the Instagram. I do have a YouTube channel, not quite up there yet, but you guys can also find me on there, the Micro Nomad. Unfortunately, the algorithms have me hidden. I tried searching myself, but I am on the YouTube there as well. You can find the link in my Instagram bio.
And will also be in the description of this episode. Mike, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Absolutely, Andy. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you to Mike for coming on the show. Everyone, make sure you follow him on the Instagram. Go on his YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe. Give it a sub. You know you want to during this holiday season. He's got 3 videos up there already. I would encourage you just do it. Just go. And I know he's got more amazing content coming out soon. So check it out. And if you have not checked out our sponsors, check out our sponsors. Of course, Canuck Outdoors and CS Instant Coffee. And big shout out to all of our Patreons. I do want to talk a little bit about the future of this show. I have been overwhelmed by the encouragement of this show on my life, how it has been a catalyst for other things in my life. And we're getting ready to end the show, in the season, not ending the show. This will be my last episode. No, it's not. We're going to be ending season 3 here next week. I'm super excited about that. And I'm going to be doing a Ask Me Anything episode. So if you have any questions you'd like for me at all, just go ahead and email them, andy@hikerpodcast.com, or shoot me on Instagram. Shoot me a question on Instagram, Andy Films and Hikes. And I'll be sure to, or at Hiker Podcast, I'll be sure to talk about it. I like doing those Ask Me Anything episodes. They seem to be the most popular if I'm looking at my stats, which is kind of weird to think about. But I just like having some sort of prompts to talk about me and what I do and how hiking in the outdoors has changed me. But that's neither here nor there. As the show goes on, we've talked in the past to a lot of hikers, a lot of outdoors persons. We are going to begin to shift a little bit, still talking with hikers and being very hiker focused, but going to start probably mid-season, season 4, working on some segments, some mid-roll segments. We're going to start doing roundtables. We've talked about that for a while now with other hikers, and kind of just changing things up creatively, a little more sound design. And I don't want to say accused, but people have been like, oh, Andy's got sponsors, he's this and that, he's all about just getting, you know, money and this and that, and he takes gear and this and that and the other thing. And I'm not going to down on anyone who, you know, who chooses to use their content or their platform in any way that they see fit. It's their content and their platform. If they don't want to take sponsorships, or if they do want to take sponsorships, or they're taking gear, or they're testing gear, or whatever, whatnot, everyone has their reasons for why they do what they do. I do work with gear companies. A large reason why I work with gear companies and outfitters and clothing lines is because I'm a plus size hiker and there's not a whole lot out there, and I want to make the plus size non-traditional looking hiker more visible, and if I can help with that any way by working with gear companies and things like that, that's what I do. And it's been great to see not only, you know, more options for non-straight size hikers, but to see gear companies and hiking organizations and outdoor organizations realize the importance of diversity and inclusion in all aspects of the outdoors. So it's been really cool. And it's been cool to be able to make a living, to be creative. And so as season 4 progresses, there's gonna be a lot of new stuff. There's gonna be a lot of just fun things I'm gonna try out. Some things are gonna work, some things aren't, and that's okay. There were some things I was gonna do this year that I wasn't able to do because of the fires. I was gonna do a whole summer segment where we just talked with PCT hikers on the trail, like around the trail. I'd set up with some trail angels, and we would just talk with hikers, you know, little 5-minute mini interview questions, and just boom, boom, boom. But because of, you know, COVID ramping back up in the late part of the summer, and also the fires and the smoke and sensitivity to that, I wasn't able to get out there. But I'm hoping to do that this year. I'm hoping to have a hiker roundtable this year. Hoping to do segments to talk about sustainability, like mid-roll segments where we have an expert on talking about the importance of, you know, not, for instance, leaving your doggy bags on the side of the trail and walking away, you know, things like that. A lot of ideas out there. Also rolling out my YouTube channel, Andy Neal Plus Size Hiker, just to encourage not only non-straight size hikers, but new hikers, anyone who wants to get into hiking, you know, with how-tos and gear reviews and just encouragement and stories and creative videos. So that's what the future kind of holds. I've obviously, as you follow me on Instagram, you know, I'm working as a plus size fitness and outdoor model now. I've done a little bit of acting now. Of course, I'm still working in filmmaking as just a production assistant, as a sound person, as camera op. I've directed a few things. I don't know what this next year is going to hold, but I know the outdoors has changed me and has encouraged me and it has forced me to put myself out there. And it's always going to be my main focus, no matter what happens. And this podcast will continue to go strong. And I'm excited for what the future holds. And I have all of you to thank for it. Thank you all for being so awesome to me week in and week out. If you do have suggestions, gripes, complaints, bitter remarks, I don't know, hit me up, andy@hackerpodcast.com. Let me know. If you'd like to leave a nice review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, rating and review, as we say. That does help with the show. Just go to the link in the description of this episode and leave us a 5-star review. It helps out big time. And leave a rating and review. So rating is the 5 stars. Review is written like, oh, I can't stand the sound of Andy's voice, but the information is great. You know, whatever. Anyways, guys, I hope you all are having a fabulous December, end of the year. Hopefully your 2022 will be eventful in all the best ways possible. And without any further ado, I don't know why I said that. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Hiker Podcast.